T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Addition to your home or a garage you want heated or cooled. Now you can do it efficiently. Call Choate's today at 755-4797 or visit our website at choateshvac.com to schedule your free estimate. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
Are you shopping for a new watch, an engagement ring, any kind of jewelry at all? What's up, Memphis? This is Jaren Jackson Jr. from the Grizzlies, encouraging you all to shop where I shop, Platinum Jewelers here in Memphis. Platinum Jewelers has a big selection of earrings, stockable rings, luxury watches, necklaces, bracelets, really whatever you need. They do custom jewelry and have two locations in the area. One is 545 Perkins Extended in East Memphis.
This Independence Day, it's a Boston Pops salute to our heroes, presented by Bloomberg and Eaton Vance. The fireworks won't take place this year, but the Boston Pops 4th of July tradition will continue, with new music paying tribute to the heroes of the current health crisis and honoring the memories of those we have lost. Watch and listen July 4th starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Bloomberg Television. And if you miss it, watch the replay at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific.
You've been camping in your backyard, cycling in your living room. You've been enjoying rain showers in your bathroom, campfires on your TV screen. You've been counting stars and birds from your window and holding family cookouts in the kitchen. Now, get ready to go. Go on a real vacation. Take the wheel at your nearest RV dealer or at GoRV.com.
The diehard batteries you know and trust are now at Advance Auto Parts. That means all the reliability, durability, and power you expect now come with free testing, free installation, and the unrivaled expertise of Advance team members. No appointment necessary. And for a limited time, purchase a diehard battery and enter to win a free Optima battery maintainer and charger. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
It's time to tee it up at Edwin Watts Golf Shop's 4th of July sale from July 3rd to July 6th. Get a 50% bonus trade-in towards all inline TaylorMade Cobra and Callaway golf clubs. Restock your wardrobe with 25% off all closeout apparel. And save big on all stand bags, now 15% off. Edwin Watts Golf Shop's 4th of July sale, with huge savings in every department, happening July 3rd through the 6th. Edwin Watts Golf Shop, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Selection may vary. See store for details.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
Gary Parish speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing a program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day just as best you can.
Our daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And like I tweeted earlier today, I hope you're not a Grizzlies fan that was expecting Zion Williamson to show up at Disney World out of shape, because the Pelicans tweeted a picture of him today, and woo boy, he looks good. He looks like he has taken these few months where we've all been limited by the pandemic and turned whatever fat might have been there into muscle, muscle, muscle. Doesn't even look human. So, good luck. But John Morant said he's feeling better than ever himself. He doesn't quite look like Zion Williamson, but he is the soon-to-be Rookie of the Year.
Oh, he looks good. I saw him today. Those shoulders are looking strong.
Got good-looking shoulders.
Yeah.
Got good-looking shoulders.
He's been in the weights.
He said he's leaving the floor easier and jumping higher. That's what John Morant told us today on a Zoom call. So that's encouraging news.
How's that possible?
You're already putting your chin on the rim. How are you jumping higher? Yeah, I didn't think you could jump
doesn't
higher.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't even make sense. Nothing about any of this makes sense. But I said earlier in the week that with NBA players expressing skepticism about going to Disney World, acknowledging they were conflicted about it, it seemed like the enthusiasm was waning a little bit about the resumption of the season. And it might still be. But speaking for myself, after seeing a picture of Zion and listening to Ja talk to, I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. Let's get to Disney World. Give me a play-in tournament between the Pelicans and Grizzlies. That sounds like fun. We'll talk about it in a second. First, though, quickly, we set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Dan Walken going to join me. National Commerce, USA Today. As numbers continue to spike throughout the United States of America, it does bring into doubt the idea of us having a college football season that starts on time. Dan Walken has been talking to college football coaches, athletic directors, conference commissioners. I'll talk to him about it. He'll get us up to date. That'll be in the next segment. When I finish that, I'm going to take a break, come back, do four notable stories, 444, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Governor Greg Abbott in Texas has implemented, this happened within the past hour, a mask requirement in his state. This is obviously not something this governor wanted to do. I don't think it's what most citizens of the state of Texas wanted him to do, but it speaks to the seriousness of the spike in that state and other states that Governor Abbott felt like he had no choice but to go this direction. We'll talk about that around 444. Ghislaine Maxwell, the one-time girlfriend and confidant of Jeffrey Epstein, has been arrested, so that's good news, facing federal prison. Perhaps she can now help better explain the mystery that was Jeffrey Epstein. I'll tell you about her a little later on this hour. 2 weeks ago, former presidential candidate Herman Cain was at a Trump rally in Tulsa without a mask on. Just yesterday, he was tweeting enthusiastically about how great it is that masks are not mandatory in this country. And update, guess who's now been hospitalized with COVID-19?
Yeah, I thought that might be the case.
Listen, I'm not going to ever laugh at another man or woman's health problems, but sometimes, you know, you get what you get. I'll give you the details just before 5 o'clock, and the Rocket Mortgage Classic is underway in Detroit. Ricky Fowler, someone who's already committed to play in Memphis, he is in contention. We'll talk about it during four notable stories, 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always, then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I want to start with the NBA. First, the bad. Then we'll get to some good.
Okay.
I promise. But first, let's get the bad out of the way.
All right.
Here's the bad. The NBA announced earlier today that it has tested another 344 NBA players for COVID-19 between June 24th and June 29th, and 9 additional players tested positive for the virus. That means 25 players have now tested positive since testing began on June 23rd. That's basically 2 full teams, 25 players. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, 10 staff members from various organizations have also tested positive. So 35 people on their way to Disney World to resume the season have tested positive in a 7-day period of testing that the NBA has produced. And you might say, okay, that's fine. They're just getting it out of the way before they enter the bubble. And once they enter the bubble, it's all good. Here's the problem with that way of thinking. Major League Soccer, as Bennett, you noted earlier in the week, is already at Disney World, already in the bubble. And guess what happened yesterday?
They reported some new cases.
4 more MLS players tested positive yesterday. MLS is supposed to start playing next Wednesday, less than a week from today. And they're suddenly having players test positive inside the bubble. Now, understand, before MLS players, coaches, refs,
league staff, club staff, before they were even allowed to travel to Disney World, they had to have two negative tests 24 hours apart. So what that suggests is that everybody went there clean. But still, the virus is in the bubble. And people are catching it. Soccer players are catching it. And that's why it defies logic to think the NBA won't encounter similar issues, even after arriving at Disney World. It's a little bit like what I talked about yesterday or the day before. You can test these players nonstop and keep them in the bubble, and it won't be a player, probably, who brings the virus into the bubble. But when you have hundreds, if not thousands, of Disney employees showing up to work in these hotels, in these Disney facilities, on the golf courses that NBA players are going to be allowed to use, everywhere they're going to be. When you have them showing up to work and then going home to their husbands or wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, sons, daughters, moms, dads, and their husbands, wives, boyfriend, girlfriends, sons, daughters, moms, dads are going about their normal lives as much as anybody goes about a normal life in the middle of a pandemic. And then they wake up the next morning and they go back to Disney World. Somebody's bringing that virus into the bubble. It's just going to happen. That appears to be what's happening right now with MLS. And though these employees will be required to be tested and wear a mask, those things help. They help. They absolutely help. They absolutely matter. But they don't eliminate the possibility of spreading the virus. I still see this and hear it sometimes from people who either, I don't know why at this point, honestly, but I still hear and see it. They say, well, you know, the mask doesn't prevent you from getting the virus or prevent you from spreading the virus, as if to, by extension, say, so what's the point of the mask? It is true that the masks don't eliminate anything, but they do cut down on, just like we talked about yesterday. A seatbelt won't guarantee that you survive a car accident, but it gives you a better chance, in theory, of surviving car accidents. That's why we have them. Airbags in every vehicle don't guarantee you're going to survive a car accident, but they help. They give you a better chance of surviving a car accident. Mask, in this scenario, exact same thing. They don't guarantee if you have the virus, you won't spread it. They don't guarantee if you don't have the virus, you won't get it. But they help. So my point about Disney World is the mask will help. Social distancing will help. But it doesn't bring the likelihood of an NBA player contracting the virus from a Disney employee. It doesn't bring it down to 0%. It brings it down, but not all the way down to zero. And so I think we had all been hopeful, and we can still be, that the positive test once inside the bubble will be minimal and hopefully non-existent. But the fact that MLS has already been in this bubble, they're in it right now, and still when they tested yesterday, they had positive tests. It's not an encouraging sign. And meantime, I guess I should point out, the numbers here aren't great either. Little separate issues. One's about the NBA bubble. One's about where we live. But where we live, not good. Shelby County today reported 394 new cases. It's a record. Highest one-day increase to date. So, not to sound like a broken record, but please put your mask on. Otherwise, I'm certain we're going to set another record very, very soon. Now to the good news.
All right, lay it on me.
Future NBA Rookie of the Year Ja Morant was made available on Zoom earlier today. About 35 media members were on the call. I was one of them. And among other things, Ja Morant said he feels healthier than ever, stronger than ever. He said he's leaving the floor easier, that's a quote, and jumping higher, that's also a quote. So Aaron Baines better be glad there's not a Sun Grizzlies game on the schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
For Orlando, or he'd be on the verge of getting a sack on his head. How about Ja Morant talking about he's leaving the floor easier and jumping higher than he was jumping before this pandemic suspended the NBA season in March?
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible, but hey, I'm looking forward to watching it.
Looking forward to seeing. I thought when I watched him, little point guard, put his chin on the rim, I was like, he jumps about as high as I would assume somebody that size can jump. But Ja Morant says that's not true. He can get up higher. He's doing it right now. And so
sounds good to me.
When you combine that with the fact that the Grizzlies, Taylor Jenkins yesterday, said as far as he knows, everybody available to go to Disney World is going to Disney World. It's just another reason to be excited about the resumption of this season. I know that the case is spiking all over the country and NBA players testing positive and some NBA players opting out and others acknowledging they are conflicted. Like we talked about earlier in the week, it seemed that the enthusiasm for the restart had been ripped away a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least the, I don't know, feeling I got, if nothing else. Like, okay, we're going to do this, but I didn't get the sense that people were really excited about doing it. And perhaps they shouldn't be. There's nothing fun about going and being away from your wife and children and normal life for weeks, if not months, at a time. So maybe they aren't excited because there's nothing to be excited about. But I will tell you, listening to Ja Morant talk about he can jump higher than ever before got me excited to watch it, so I'm looking forward to it. Meantime, the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Tweeted a picture of Zion Williamson earlier today. And like I said at the top, if you were hoping as a Grizzlies fan that Zion was going to show up at Disney World a little out of shape, like maybe he'd been watching a little too much Netflix during the quarantine, that ain't what happened at all. He looks like a monster.
Now, I'll be honest. I did see the picture, and he looks like a freak of nature, obviously. However, I saw a video, too, of him. And he was running up and down the court. There's a little jiggling.
You think somebody's got some Instagram skills on that picture?
I think there might have been a little touch up to that picture.
You think touched it? You don't think that's really Zion?
Maybe if not a touch up, that they were like, "Hey Zion, we're about to take a picture. Just FYI."
And just
he kind of flexing on him real quick. We're about to take a nice little IG photo.
I will tell you this. I'm fascinated by what people can do to pictures these days.
Me too.
Because there's this one person I know. She's a woman. I'm not going to go any further than that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to call her a woman.
Terrible.
I'm not going to tell you how I know her. I'm not going to tell you anything else about her except she's a woman.
Okay.
And when I see her on Instagram, because I follow her on Instagram, because we're actual friends. When I see her on Instagram, she looks like a model. Beautiful. I mean, every picture is like, if I showed it to you and I'd been like, what do you think of this? Not to objectify women. Like, what do you think of this? I apologize. But if I were to show you the picture, you'd be like, oh, wow, who is that?
Yeah.
Anybody would be like, oh, wow, who is that? And I'm just telling you, she doesn't look like that in real life. I don't know how she does it. Like, I understand angles and all that stuff. Like, you know, I got a buddy who's on these dating apps, and he's always falling in love. In about 7 out of 10 times, he's in love with somebody who is like not real. It's just like not a real person. Or B, he finally meets the person, and they don't look anything like what they look like on this dating app.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I've had to teach him is that if this person is only putting headshots on this dating app, they hiding something. I'm just telling you. If you ain't seen nothing but her head, she's hiding something from you. And then sometimes, even if you see more than just neck up, some of these people got these Instagram cheat codes.
Yeah.
Where they can just make them look like, it's just not what they look like.
It's a whole new world.
There's this other girl on Instagram that she takes incredible pictures. But then I see her post videos, and the videos don't look like the pictures. Mm-hmm. It's exactly like what you're talking about. Like, she still looks great in the videos, but not as great as the pictures. And so what you're suggesting is that that's what the Pelicans have done to Zion Williamson. They used my friend's Instagram cheat code to make Zion look more impressive than he is in real life.
I'm suspicious, I'd be honest.
You're suspicious?
I saw a video of him running up and down the court, and I'm just being honest. There's a little jiggling going on. I'm just being honest.
You saw jiggle?
I saw a little jiggle.
Okay, Bennett, I can't argue with that. I can't argue with what your eyes saw. I didn't see that video.
We're going to see when these games start.
I can't argue with what your eyes saw. You think the Pelicans got Instagram cheat codes and they used them to hype Zion up even more. Because it was hyped up. It was like the lead A block on the jump. Look at this picture of Zion Williamson. Because he looks like a monster.
Yeah.
But he might not be a monster. But he might be a monster. That picture makes him look like. I just say this.
I put it on Facebook.
He doesn't even look like. Like Zion Williamson and I are the same species. But you never know that by looking at that picture.
And how old is he, 20?
Yeah, he's like 20 years old.
Yeah, it's insanity.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
Like, why does he...
He looks like a 40-year-old man.
Like why does he...
That's been working out his whole life.
Nah, not 40.
Yeah, 30-year-old man.
Like 28.
Yeah, okay.
28.
Cool.
Like, why does Zion get to look like that and I have to look like me? It seems unfair.
Yeah.
Like, why do I have to be me and he gets to be him?
That's why he's Zion and why they're pumping him up.
I would kill another human to look like that.
I think I would too.
Like think about this. You will never in your life take a picture, even with Instagram cheat codes. You will never in your life take a picture where you look as good as Zion just looked today. Think about how depressing that is.
Yeah.
You could work your entire life. Like, you could go on the strictest diet, start working out tomorrow. You'll never look as good as he looked in that just random picture today. It's depressing when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing you can do about it. You're just born like this. He's born like that. It's ridiculous. It's unfair.
It is unfair.
So I posted the picture on Facebook, and somebody said, do they test for HGH down at Disney World?
The
implication being like, come on, what did he do? That looks ridiculous. And I will say, like, I hear you. Because he looks like, at least the picture makes him look way more cut and sculpted than he looked last time we saw him. But Zion's a different deal, man.
Yeah, those videos of him in high school, like, yeah. He's just different.
I'll just tell you this. It clearly comes across on television because, like, it comes across on Twitter in a picture. But... if you ever are fortunate enough, I guess, to stand next to him, to, like, stand in front of him, to have a conversation with him, which is something I've done. I was around him when he was in high school. I was around him when he was at Duke. I can't overstate how, and I mean this as a compliment, how not normal he looks. He actually, when you're standing next to him, looks like the Incredible Hulk. Like somebody who just burst out of clothes and is just big.
Which we've seen him do.
Just big.
Yeah.
He's just a big person.
Yeah.
And I know people say he's short relative to the position he plays in the NBA. But when you're standing next to him, he doesn't tower over you like Giannis. But he's massive in a way that is striking. And that's before he takes that whatever, quote, fat might have been there and turns it into muscle. But that's what he looks like when you stand next to him. He looks like the Incredible Hulk. And he looks more Hulk-like today, at least in that picture, than perhaps he's ever looked before. So again, just to wrap this up, earlier in the week when cases are spiking and players are opting out of the NBA resumption and players are acknowledging they're conflicted about doing it. It was like, geez, it sounds like nobody wants to go. And then that twist into, like, I don't know how excited. If they're not excited about it, am I excited about it? But I will tell you, and speaking sincerely here, after hearing Ja talk for about 20 minutes today, and then just seeing that picture of Zion, whether it's an accurate representation or not, I suddenly got fired up for the idea that we're going to get to watch both of those young stars play basketball again, in theory, hopefully, fingers crossed, as long as everything goes well, later on this month. And then the most likely scenario, based on the standings right now and the schedules that have to be played, is that it is Grizz Pelicans playing for the right to face LeBron James and the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, that is what we should get at some point in August. It could be Ja against Zion, Grizzlies against Pelicans for the right to face LeBron. And hopefully it goes this way. The Grizzlies would need to beat the Pelicans once, and the Pelicans would need to beat the Grizzlies twice. I don't know that you can get more excited for something than you can get excited for that if you're a basketball fan. I mean, obviously a finals with LeBron and Giannis would be something special as well. But for this market, woo boy, Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, Zion looking better than he's ever looked, and Ja saying he's jumping better than he's ever jumped. And now they're both headed to Disney World, fighting for the chance to play King James as a rookie. That's good stuff. So hopefully we get this virus thing under control and the NBA can move forward and we actually get to experience that starting later on this month. Dan Walken from USA Today is next.
So it's Jeff Calkins here for Cooper Systems. For the longest time, my former employer wouldn't let me do endorsements, so I couldn't tell you that I'm a Cooper Systems customer myself. True story. When my laptop got all tangled up with viruses, I went to Cooper Systems. When I needed a reasonably priced laptop for my sons, Cooper Systems. And why not? For more than 30 years, Cooper Systems has been serving the computer needs of Memphians. Got networking challenges? Cooper Systems can plan, design, install, and maintain your network. Need help with data recovery? Cooper Systems experts can handle that. Crack screen? No problem. Oh, and if you're in the market to buy a computer, Cooper Systems prices are typically half the price of big box stores. They've got big name brands like Apple, Dell, Hewlett Packard, Toshiba, Lenovo, and more. And if you're a gamer or know someone who is, like my sons, Cooper is the best in the city at building and customizing a complete gaming system to fit your needs within your budget. So call Lee and Lauren Cooper at 360-9679. That's 360-9679. Or just stop in and visit them in the Mount Moriah office park.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
I absolutely love my dog, but the constant shedding, not so much. But then I got a Swiffer Sweeper Pet Kit, and it is amazing. These super thick cloths pick up a crazy amount of hair. Just look at all that. And that was from just one swipe. And the best part? Sweeper's so much easier to maneuver than a broom or a vacuum, easily getting around chairs and under the couch. You're right. Now I can focus on you, not your shedding. Swiffer Sweeper Pet Kit. Because shed happens.
Think about this little bicycle bell. It may seem small, but it comes from a small business, one of thousands on eBay, powered by millions of people, all working to get you exactly what you want. That's no small thing. That's everything. Get your thing on eBay.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Like, this is what your life like. Try to live your life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night.
2 weeks ago, former presidential candidate Herman Cain was at a Trump rally in Tulsa without a mask on. Just yesterday, he was bragging about how awesome it is not to wear a mask. At this moment, he is hospitalized fighting COVID-19. So that's interesting. Get into that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins, a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he's an award-winning national columnist with USA Today. It's Dan Walken. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Dan, you tweeted last night that you can't stress enough how big the Ivy League's decision on fall sports is for the rest of the country because college presidents really pay attention to what those university presidents do. I think it's worth pointing out, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, It was the Ivy League back in March that was the first conference to pull the plug on its conference tournament. When it happened on a Tuesday morning, everybody criticized them. The next day, the NBA shut down. 2 days later, everything was shut down. They knew what they were doing, and that's why I suspect what they do next Wednesday, like you said, is going to have an impact on what other people do, because these are the same people who knew what they were doing last time.
Yeah, look, it's not a perfectly aligned situation with what happened in basketball, because Harvard and Yale and Princeton in basketball are playing in the same tournament as Kansas and Kentucky and Duke, you know. But in football, they're playing a different level, a different sport.
Sure.
And the financial incentives in the SEC, ACC, Big Ten are very different. At the same time, you know, if it's determined by those Ivy League schools that, hey, look, we just can't do it this fall. We can't pull it off this fall, so we're going to move everything to spring. They have the street cred with the college presidents to influence the way that others are going to look at it. And, you know, just kind of the way I think this could play out is that, okay, the Ivy League decides they're going to move everything to spring. Well, then at that point, you will see some potentially high academic schools, your Stanfords, your USCs, your Michigans, you know, kind of look at this and say, all right, you know, maybe we can't really do fall semester the way we thought we were going to, and that will then trickle down to football, and you'll see some dominoes start to fall.
Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott, according to John Wilner, has said that his conference is ready to pivot quickly to alternate football scenarios, and CEOs have discussed the possibility that some teams won't play in the fall if asked to play in the fall. Listen, I'm not going to pretend like we know on July 2nd what is ultimately going to happen, but there does seem to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of new momentum for, hey, why not let's just push this stuff back to January and buy ourselves a little more time, because right now, undeniably, whether you're talking about Texas, Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi, or, you know, 25 other states, the numbers just aren't going the right direction. In fact, they're going the wrong direction. And it suggests that, as you put it, pulling this off is very, very difficult.
Yeah, look, I think what's happened in the last 2 weeks is you've seen how difficult it's been for these schools to pull off individual workouts without some major issues with infections. Now, not everybody. I mean, Michigan, for instance, today they have two student athletes who have COVID-19. Like, that's pretty good. You can kind of contain that, you know, assuming you've caught it before it spreads to a bunch of people. But obviously LSU's had issues, Clemson, Kansas State, and it's just hard to control what athletes are doing and who they're in contact with when they're not inside the football building. You know, those football buildings or athletic departments, those places are as like the most sanitary places on earth right now. But they're only spending 3 or 4 hours a day in there, and they're spending 20 hours a day somewhere else. And so there's just fear that, okay, if the positive rate is this high now, well, what about when all the students are back? Can we really do this? Do we need more time? And I don't know that if you push it back that you have to go all the way to spring. You know, maybe the first step is to say, all right, no non-conference games. It's going to be an 8 or 9 game season starting, you know, October 10th, and we're just going to get it all done. You know, how does that affect the playoff and such? I don't know, but like, that could be the next step, just to buy more time to figure out what's going on here, and, you know, maybe to get the virus under control a little bit. Now that you've seen, you know, Texas, now the governor says everyone's got to wear a mask. And I think you're going to see a renewed urgency around the country to try to not let this thing get out of control like it has over the last few weeks.
One of the arguments I've heard about pushing the 2020 football season into the 2021 calendar is that you would have two football seasons in the year 2021. I recognize that's not ideal, but is it that big of a deal if we're still going to have several months in between these two seasons?
Well, I don't think anybody wants it to do two full seasons in the same calendar year. There's a lot of reasons why that would be bad. For one, a lot of the players who are looking at the NFL draft for next year probably wouldn't play you know, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and all those guys, there'd be really no reason for them to play college football. It would be too risky. Also, there's a lot of fear, and it's legitimate, about just the optics of that and trying to play, you know, two seasons in a calendar year and what that does for the health and safety of the student athletes. So I think you'd have to do it in a way that is really carefully thought out in terms of number of games, limits on practice, roster sizes. You know, maybe the 2021 season is only conference games, so you just abandon non-conference games for 2 years. So instead of playing, you know, 24 games, you would play 20 or something like that, or 18. You know, that kind of thing. So there's all kinds of ways you could maybe try to do it that would be safe and careful, but there's no doubt it creates a lot of complications.
Talking to Dan Walken from USA Today, I know you spent basically every day of this pandemic, including recent days, talking to coaches, athletic directors, conference commissioners, other administrators. How different is what they're telling you now? How different is their tone, their optimism today relative to where it was even a month ago?
Yeah, so the way this thing has sort of unfolded is you've had March, you know, right at the beginning of this with all the lockdowns where everyone's like, all right, what is this going to look like? What's going on? You know, no total uncertainty about what the future holds, right? Well, then all of a sudden, you know, we flatten the curve and we get to the end of April and states start opening up in May, and then there's all this optimism. All right, we're going to get athletes back in campus in June. We're going to be ready to go. The summer's going to help contain the virus. So by the time football starts, everything's going to be good. But what's really, I think, changed is just the numbers in Florida, the numbers in Texas, and just the reality that this thing is just so contagious. And, all right, now it's real, right? If you have five players in your individual workouts who are positive and they got to go into quarantine for 2 weeks, and the contact tracing, you know, that goes along with that, and those people have to go in for 2 weeks, and we still don't have the kind of testing we need to have. So you just throw all this together – like, yeah, like, reality's here. The calendar goes to July. They're supposed to have real football practice in 2 weeks. So that's where it gets really, I think, scary for these guys that, all right, we're 2-3 weeks away from real football practice, and we still don't know what the hell's going on.
And, again, we've noted this, but you can't say it enough. They're operating on mostly empty campuses right now, college towns that don't have a fraction of the number of people that are going to be there theoretically, you know, 6 weeks from now. Like, if it's already this complicated, nothing that's in the future makes it less complicated. It only becomes much more difficult to handle and maintain.
Yeah. Look, you can tell your players and your team, all right, guys, look, we just got to get through the season. So come to practice, you know, come to the workout room, do what you need to do, and then when you leave here, go back to your dorm, go back to your apartment, and stay there as much as you can, and don't leave, and don't go to bars, and don't go to parties and social gatherings, because we got to get through the season. And you can tell them that, and tell them that, and tell them that as much as you want. Are they going to do it? Are 100 guys going to do it? What about if 90 of the 100 do it? And, well, great, but what about the 10 who don't, and they infect everybody else? So that's the complicated part of this, is the temptation to get out and live life like a normal college student is going to be there. And I'm not saying that's wrong or unnatural. It just is what it is, and people are going to be irresponsible, and that is going to invite this virus into your athletic facility in a way that puts a lot of people in jeopardy.
And even if you can get all of your football players to be responsible, and by the way, let me be clear, you can't. You won't. I don't even think a football coach would try to trick himself into thinking that you can. There's no way you can convince 5,000, 10,000 people on a college campus to all be responsible any more than you can, you know, convince 10,000 people in DeSoto County or Shelby County or Crittenden County to be responsible. So even if the football players are being responsible, the people they're sharing classrooms with, some of them quite clearly aren't going to be. It does just feel like I guess nothing's impossible, but this – trying to have a healthy football team seems just about as close to impossible as you can get.
Yeah, look, you go to the NBA and see the lengths that they're going to try to keep this thing secure. And we don't know whether it's going to be enough, but you look at MLS. You know, they brought all these players down to their so-called bubble, and then what's happened? A bunch of positive tests. So it's just hard. With this particular virus, it's a real challenge. And I don't think there's a way to make these college athletic facilities to build enough of a defense that you can say with any reasonable certainty that you're going to not have to deal with a major outbreak. I think it's just part of the deal for right now. And I understand that we're going to have to learn to live with it on some level. I think that's true. But on the other hand, if you've got to shut down a third of your team for 2 weeks, then you're not going to have a season. So I don't know what the right answer is, but part of why you might want to move the season a little bit later is just to give you more tools, to give you more time, to give you more testing capability, to further your understanding of just how to make this work, if it's even possible.
I'm wrapping up here with Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Last thing before I let you go, obviously all the focus right now is on college football because college football is the biggest college sport we have, and it starts earlier than college basketball. But college basketball is scheduled to start in November. What do you think all of this means for that sport? Rick Pitino yesterday suggested it should be pushed back to January as well.
I think it's really tough, just like college football. I mean, you're talking about, first of all, a sport that's indoors. Like, are we going to have indoor crowds at sporting events anytime soon? That doesn't seem to be very likely. So, you know, the idea that you're going to go into Allen Fieldhouse with, you know, 18,000 people packed into there, or Cameron Indoor Stadium with, I don't know, whatever it holds, but I know people are packed in like sardines in that place. That just doesn't seem very likely anytime soon. So I don't know what college basketball looks like. I had one coach I was talking to recently who raised the possibility, all right, you know, if you're the University of Memphis and you've got, you know, Jackson State on the schedule for a Wednesday game in December, like you often do when you're University of Memphis, and you have the capability to test people, you know, once or twice a week, but Jackson State doesn't have the money to do that. Are you going to really put your team on the floor with Jackson State when you know that none of your guys are positive because you just tested them, but you have no idea if the team you're playing that you're paying, you know, $75,000 to play you, if they've got any positives? I don't know that you can in good conscience do that. So that's a real issue that I've heard from college basketball people. But right now the issues with football are so pervasive and urgent, you know, college basketball is just kind of falling in line.
That is Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Make sure you're reading him, usatoday.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Dan Wolkin. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy your holiday weekend.
You too. See you.
All right, I'll see you. That's Dan Wolkin from USA Today. When we come back, Herman Cain was a one-time presidential candidate who attended the Trump rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a couple weeks ago, and, you know, tweeted a picture. He wasn't wearing a mask. And as recently as yesterday, he was on Twitter again, enthusiastically praising the idea that masks are not mandatory at rallies and in general in the United States of America. Now he's in a hospital with COVID-19. So that's an interesting turn of events. We'll talk about that next. You know, Josh Hysaw tracks and sells so many homes, he consistently knows about great houses before they even hit the market. So if you want immediate access to the best homes in and around Memphis, getting on Josh's list is free and puts you at the front of the line in purchasing your dream home. Go to joshsellsthemidsouth.com. And don't forget, he's got that 45-day guarantee. It's a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. Josh is able to do this because he's experienced, effective. He's someone who can expose your home to the most buyers with the best marketing strategy. Then he knows how to negotiate for the most money possible. But first step is Josh just helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive. Once you guys agree on a price, that's when Josh goes to work. And then if your home isn't sold that agreed upon price within 45 days, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. You pick, totally up to you. And understand, it's a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh doesn't obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, you can fire him, no questions asked. He's got flexible fees. There are no upfront costs. So if you're trying to sell a home, call the only real estate agent I'd call if I wanted to sell my home, Josh Hysaw. 561-8147 on the web, joshsellsthemidsouth.com.
Are you shopping for a new watch, an engagement ring, any kind of jewelry at all? What's up, Memphis? This is Jaren Jackson Jr. from the Grizzlies, encouraging you all to shop where I shop, Platinum Jewelers here in Memphis. Platinum Jewelers has a big selection of earrings, stockable rings, luxury watches, necklaces, bracelets, really whatever you need. They do custom jewelry and have two locations in the area. One is 545 Perkins Extended in East Memphis. The other is 9387 Poplar next to Fresh Market in Germantown. So if you need anything jewelry related, go to my spot, Platinum Jewelers.
Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect. And a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
The National Constitution Center serves as America's leading platform for constitutional education and debate. Through its museum in historic Philadelphia, just steps from where the Constitution was signed, and its online interactive Constitution, the center brings together people of all ages and perspectives to learn about, debate, and celebrate the greatest vision of human freedom in history, the U.S. Constitution. For podcasts, live programs, constitutional news, and educational resources, visit constitutioncenter.org.
Confidence. Peace of mind, a way forward. During tough times, these are the things we all want. And with the personalized help of a Trustmark relationship manager, it's something we can find together. That's why Trustmark is standing by business owners. No matter what challenges you may be facing, we are here with a suite of financial services to help you find a path forward. Learn more at trustmark.com/business.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the card dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves World Championship Barbecue. And you know where it is. It's Memphis Barbecue Company down in Horn Lakes, owned by Melissa Cookston, 8-time world champion, first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. You want to make your July 4th simpler and better? Let Memphis Barbecue Company handle the food for you. You can pre-order via the website, memphisbbqco.com. memphisbbqco.com menus right there. You can pre-order there. And if you don't want to wait to pick up your food until Saturday because there's going to be a rush, it's going to be busy, you can pick up your food today. Tomorrow, Memphis Barbecue Company will provide you with reheating instructions. But if you want to pick up on Saturday, you can take it straight from Memphis Barbecue Company to your kitchen table. Beyond that, understand they are operating indoors, 50% capacity. They've got special UV light air sanitizers to filter the air using UV light technology to ensure all tables are sanitized after every single guest. So you can feel safe when you're inside. But yeah, curbside service remains available. The address is 709 DeSoto Cove, 709 DeSoto Cove, just across the state line, just off I-55. Memphis Barbecue Company on the web, memphisbbqco.com. Jeff Clark is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock from Michigan. We will get back into the Ja Morant, Zion Williamson discussion then, but at this moment, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
So, Bennett, you remember Herman Cain?
I do remember Herman Cain.
He is a 74-year-old man who once ran for president of the United States, unsuccessfully, but like he gave it his best shot. Mm-hmm. All right, he's actually born right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Little trivia time for you. Born in Memphis, Tennessee, on December 13th, 1945. So Herman Cain is a Republican, which is fine. I don't care. But he was at the Trump rally a couple of weeks ago, the one that was in Tulsa. You might remember.
I remember.
Almost nobody went through it.
It was not successful.
It looked like a yes. Tulsa, East Carolina basketball game there.
Yeah, very
but
much
it was
did.
Actually a Trump rally. So that was it just, I don't know, it was an interesting sight because they were talking about millions of people going to be there. and they're going to have millions of people outside. It's just supposed to be millions of people. I think that was an exaggeration, but they meant more than like 7,000, right? It's a little bit of a weird deal. But either way, Herman Cain, bless his heart, he was there to support the President of the United States. And he took a picture, he tweeted it from the rally, and you can see him sitting shoulder to shoulder with other people. There ain't no social distancing going on. He ain't got a mask on, but he did tweet, "I'm having a fantastic time!" Exclamation mark. Fast forward to yesterday, and I mean yesterday afternoon at 4:44 in the afternoon. Four stories, 4:44.
How about that?
Herman Cain. So he tweets this, because they were talking about the fireworks extravaganza that's going to happen at Mount Rushmore. The president's going to attend that, right? Mm-hmm. So Herman Cain retweets a story about that. And he says, he tweets this, he wanted to make this very clear, "Mask will not be mandatory for the event, which will be attended by President Trump," all caps. "People are fed up." That's Herman Cain, roughly 24 hours ago. Now go ahead, ask me, where's Herman Cain right now?
Where's Herman Cain right now?
In a hospital, battling the coronavirus. And I want to be clear, I hope he gets better.
Me too.
It just seems bad karma to wish anything other than that.
Absolutely.
So I hope he gets better. But you kind of get what you get, don't you? Like, let me tell you, let me be very clear on this.
Especially if you're throwing it in people's face.
If you're, and that's what he was doing. I'm at the Trump rally. Look, I'm shoulder to shoulder with everybody. No mask. I'm having a fantastic time. Then he retweets a story about fireworks at Mount Rushmore. President's going to be there. And the point he wants to make is not that the fireworks are going to be the greatest fireworks you've ever seen, or wow, Mount Rushmore is so amazing, or anything like that. The point he wanted to make is mask will not be mandatory. Like, he's real proud of that. Mask will not be mandatory. South Dakota governor, by the way, said social distancing will not be mandatory. So that's the point he's doubling down on, and then adding mask will not be mandatory either. So he's very proud that this is the way this event's going to go off. And now he's in a hospital. Like, he's not somebody, we hear about this all the time, yeah, tested positive, had no symptoms. Tested positive, but then, like, was fine 2 days later. This dude's in the hospital. So something, it's bad enough that took him to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you don't want any, like, you hope he learns a lesson, but not the ultimate lesson. But my heart breaks for families who have lost people through this pandemic when they were trying to do the right things. Because there's a lot of examples of that. People who weren't necessarily flaunting anything in anybody's face or being dismissive of the virus, discounting the virus, mocking people who did wear masks. Because when you retweet, "Mask won't be mandatory at this event because people are fed up," you are, by extension, mocking people who think masks should be mandatory. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing. So my heart breaks for the people who have gotten really sick or lost loved ones throughout this pandemic when they're trying to do the right things, when they know this virus is serious and they're taking it seriously. If I'm being honest, my heart breaks a little less for the people who are begging for it, who are begging for it. And especially when you're 74 freaking years old. Like, I can kind of understand a 19-year-old being like, "I don't care." Because mm-hmm. that 19-year-old's probably going to be fine. By nothing more than age alone, if you are 74, you are a high-risk candidate for serious illness or death if you get this virus. And then you're walking into an arena, shoulder to shoulder with people, no mask and proud of it, quote, having a fantastic time. Like, what? So, again, I hope Herman Cain checks out of the hospital tonight and lives to be 114. But I also hope he learns a lesson. And I also hope other people who might be following his idiotic lead learn a lesson from him. Because this is not a joke. Nobody likes wearing a mask. I don't want to wear one when I walk into a store, but I do it every time I walk into a store. And I'm not of the age where I'm at risk of serious illness or death. But I still feel like, A, it's the right thing to do, and B, the right example to set. And so if he wants to spend the past 2 weeks setting the wrong example And now he finds himself in a hospital. Again, I hope he gets better, but I hope he learns from it. And I hope the people who have been listening to him learn from it. And I hope he's whatever enough to, when he's healthy enough, to jump back on Twitter and say, you know what? When I was bragging about not wearing a mask and insisting that it's a great thing that masks shouldn't be mandatory, well, I was doing that from a place of ignorance or stubbornness, and I regret it. Hopefully, it's a mistake that he'll learn from and other people will learn from as well.
Story number two.
Meantime, straight from the AP in a groundbreaking move today, Governor Greg Abbott in Texas has issued a statewide mask order, which means every Texan is required to wear a mask or facial covering when out in public. Now, there are some places, exceptions to the rule. Like if you are riding a bike by yourself, you don't have to have a mask on. Young children do not have to have a mask on. But if you're like a normal adult trying to pop into Kroger, if you don't have a mask on, they can give you a verbal warning once. And then after that, you are putting yourself at risk of a $250 fine. So this isn't just one of those, hey, please do it. You could really be fined for not doing it. And it's one thing for this to happen in California or New York or some left-leaning state. But for it to happen in Texas with this governor, I mean, this governor is, you know, he's Herman Cain, just with a different name. I promise you, 2 weeks ago, Governor Abbott and Herman Cain felt the exact same way about masks. But at some point, you can't deny it. 8,000 new confirmed cases yesterday in the state of Texas. Numbers going the wrong way. Remember, Texas once upon a time was, we're opening up. Got to get back to life. Hey, if any pro teams want to come to Texas and play, you're more than happy to do it. Fast forward to July 2nd, that same governor who was saying all those things is now saying, put your mask on. We got to do something. And so, again, like, this is the situation we find ourselves in. If you wanted to be dumb enough to lie to yourself last week and the week before and the week before that and the week before that, okay. But now even the people who were dumb enough to lie to themselves last week and the week before and the week before and the week before, like the governor of Texas, can't do it anymore. The numbers are impossible to ignore. And again, I hope people will learn something from that. There is, no matter how much you think you hate the mask, no matter how much you think the liberal media is trying to push masks down your throat, trust me, you don't hate it more than the governor of Texas. That guy didn't want any part of this mask ordinance, but he just had to issue one. Reluctantly, I'm certain. But at some point, the numbers are the numbers and the virus is the virus. You can't keep pretending that it's not exactly what the doctors have told us it is. It's like I've said from the first day we started talking about this so many months ago. Listen to the right people. There's a lot of information about this, about what it is, what it isn't, about what you should do, what you shouldn't do. But too many people listen to the wrong people. Sometimes it's the wrong people on radio. Sometimes it's the wrong people on television. Sometimes it's the wrong politicians. But even the politicians who were wrong about this are now flipping, at least some of them. And the governor of Texas is clearly one of them.
Story number three.
British socialite Ghislaine Maxwell was arrested today on charges she helped lure at least three girls, one as young as 14, to be sexually abused by the late financier Jeffrey Epstein, who was accused of victimizing dozens of girls and women over many years. This is an awesome development because I followed the story really closely. I feel like I've read everything there is to read about it. There were three podcasts released on the Epstein situation all around the same time, and I listened to all three of them. Like, people sometimes ask me which one was the best one, and I can't remember because I can't remember what was what. They were all good enough. Mm-hmm. Like, I listened to every episode of every one. But it was like, this one will release a new episode. I'd release listen to that on a Tuesday. This one will release a new episode on Thursday. I'd listen to that one on Thursday. And a lot of the material was the same stuff. But I just found it fascinating how this guy, and obviously disturbing, horrific, how this guy got away with this for so long. Are you familiar with Ghislaine Maxwell's role in this?
Kind of, yes.
Okay. Now, she's this woman. Her father was this big deal in England. And he died under mysterious circumstances himself. And so she ends up coming to the United States, and at some point she develops a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. And at one point she was considered to be his quote-unquote girlfriend. But at some point, that relationship morphed into something very, very different. And allegedly, she was the person recruiting young girls for Jeffrey Epstein. And it's reasonable to suggest, like, Epstein's the devil here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's reasonable to suggest he could not have done all of the things he did without the help of the alleged help, I should say, of Ghislaine Maxwell. Because what they would do, for instance, is he had this beautiful home down in Palm Beach, Florida. And, you know, that part of the country is a very interesting part of the country. It's a little bit like Miami. People think of Miami and they think of South Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Like LeBron James, when he's going to play for the Miami Heat, he says, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. Not really. You're going to live there, maybe, but, like, you're going to Miami. Miami and South Beach, two very different places. South Beach is, you walk around there. I don't know if you've ever been. It's beautiful. It's like you feel like, This doesn't even feel like a real place. Beautiful. Looks wealthy. Beautiful. Then you go to Miami, it's very poor.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.